Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The last talk that we just had reminded me, back in graduate school, listening to a guest speaker from India talking to us about metaphysics. So if anybody couldn't quite understand, we'll try to get it to you later, okay? But it's great. Father Bucci is the last surviving priest that knew Luisa. And it's just such an honor to be in his presence. He watched Luisa eat one time. See, the bishop said, "Luisa, you're no different than anybody else. You must eat something every day." So what happened was they would bring two crackers and like three grapes. And every day, out of obedience to the bishop, she would have to eat these crackers and grapes. So she'd eat the crackers, she'd chew them all up, and she'd take the grapes and she'd swallow them. And she'd take the grapes, she'd swallow them, take the grape. And then all of a sudden, she'd take out of her mouth a whole cracker, a whole cracker, a whole grape, a whole grape. And Father Bucci said, when those grapes came out of her mouth, they were glistening. He said he wanted to eat one that looked so beautiful. But she was obedient. She had to eat. But Jesus says, you don't have to eat, but you must obey the bishop. So she would eat and chew the crackers. He watched the whole thing. And then she'd take the crackers out of her mouth and the grapes out of her mouth. So some people say, well, why is she eating? Well, the bishop said, you have to do this. So out of obedience, that's Luisa. So we'll continue where we left off. And this is volume 17, 3125. This is on page 3. We're on page 4. Oh, but, thank you. There's that big but again. Okay. But do you know what true light is? True light is the truth. Okay. The truth is a person. That the truth is Jesus. True light is Jesus. The truth known, the truth embraced, the truth loved, and the truth put into practice by the soul. So it's to know Jesus, to embrace Jesus, to love Jesus, and to put into practice Jesus. See, in the divine will, Jesus wants to reign. He wants to breathe in our breathing. He wants to beat in our heart beating. He wants, when we're with people, he wants to gaze at them through our eyes. Jesus wants to listen to them when we listen to them. He wants to hear in our hearing. He is the Lord, and he wants to touch in our touching. Can you imagine when we finally let Jesus be the Lord of our life, if we walked into a hospital? What would happen if Jesus walked into a hospital? Would anybody be sick? And see, this is what Jesus is saying. I want to reign on earth through you. And so when this gift is given, when we really begin to live this gift, watch what's going to happen. So Jesus says this. He says, this truth is the true light which transforms the soul into that very light, transforms that soul into Jesus. See, this isn't being about good and holy and saintly. This is divine. He says, into that very light of Jesus, the places inside of and outside of the soul, new and continuous births of divine light. This truth forms the true life of Jesus within the soul, because God is truth, and the soul is bound to the truth. Even more, the soul possesses the truth. Now, this gives you a clue, too. The saints taught us to know, love, and serve God. In the divine will, Jesus teaches Luisa to know, love, and possess God. It's mutual possession. God possessing us and us possessing God. God is light, and the soul is bound to the light. The soul is nourished with the light. The soul is nourished with the truth. However, while I, Jesus, nourish the soul with truth and life, the soul must, here's that must again, must keep the current of her human will opened in order to receive the current of the divine communication. Not human, divine communication. That's why at Holy Mass, we have to discipline ourselves to just fall in love with Jesus, to adore Him, to love Him, to praise Him, to thank Him, to bless Him, to worship Him. Now, that's why we have communion. That's why Holy Mass ends right after the final blessing, final prayer, final blessing, the Mass ends. Because the Church does not want to interfere with our communion. And that Jesus says the reason for Holy Communion is to prepare us for the perennial communion that's going to happen in the kingdom. Often-wise, it may happen as the electric current to which the power it contains within itself is not enough in order to admit light. In fact, it cannot admit it if there is no preparations in order to receive it. And on the top of this, not everyone receives the same light, but according to the light bulbs they have. Those who have one receives one light. Those who have 10 receives 10 light. If the bulbs contains more electric wires, the lamps appear as filled with more light. If they have less wires, even though there is room in the glass, the light is small. And even if the current may be stronger, if the lamps do not receive it, it is not in proportion to the capacity of the bulbs which receives the current. Therefore, it takes the celestial current of God, which wants to give, as well as the human current, capable of receiving it. And in accord to how many more acts you do in my most holy divine will, you shall add more wires to render a more complete the light which I, God, want to enclose in you. See, Jesus wants to produce a masterpiece with us. Think, in each one of us, it's going to be something that has never been seen before. As you read the volumes, you're going to see things that I can't see. Each and every one of us, for example, let's just think of a color. Think of a color. Everybody's thinking of a different color. Okay, let's color red. Okay, now think of an object that is red. Okay, some say tomatoes, some say apples, some say flowers, some say fire trucks, some say fire hydrant. Okay, let's just do an apple. Let's look at the apple. No one is seeing the apple from the same angle, from the same perspective. No one is seeing the same size and shape. Why? Because Jesus loves our uniqueness. He and in the divine will, the spiritual life that He wants to give us, no one can have the same light. That's why you can't be jealous of anyone. What God has given to you is unique. What God has given to you is yours in particular. Nobody else can have it. So then when you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you're praying completely different than anybody else. And in the divine will, it depends on your capacity. It depends on your desire. It depends on your disposition. How many lights do you want shining for Jesus? Let's look at Christmas trees. Everybody's Christmas tree is different. Why? Because of this uniqueness. Now, in your spiritual life, what you have learned, nobody else has learned. What you have seen, nobody else has seen. And as you enter into this gift, what God is going to show you is going to be astonishing. Each one of us is so important to God that Jesus says to Luis, if you're not there, heaven will not be complete. He has great plans for each and every one of us. But all He's asking of us to do is to give our fiat. So He says, to render you more complete with this divine light, this divine life, this divine love. Our Lord, and that, this is why He's asking. He asked way back when, go to your room, close the door, and pray. Go to your room, bring the book of heaven with you, and pray. Now, there's places where you can get the book of heaven, and if you need, you see, the only thing is you have to have a priest to get the writings. Okay, so I will help anybody who wants to have the writings. That's the only thing the archbishop said. You must have a priest. Okay, why? Father Bucci says it very clearly. If a lay person goes to the altar and says, "This is my body," nothing happens. Because that's the priest's job. And since the divine will is the first bread, see, there's three breads. There's your wonder bread, that's the third bread, your daily bread. There's the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And then there's the first bread. Now, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, which we received at Holy Mass, Jesus is with us for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. The first bread, Jesus says, is a perennial communion, never ending. Now, no one has obtained that yet. This Luisa is the first. The one who will work with Luisa is the Holy Father. He has the keys to the kingdom. And in volume 15, Jesus says to Luisa, "I give you this gift so that you will give it back to the man who has the keys, who's going to open the door, and then there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will begin to live this divine life." This is very, very important. Our God, He's begging us just to say fiat. Volume 18, 12, 11, 12, 25. "Since I have called you," and that's the other thing too, Jesus has called each and every one of us. He's called us, first of all, to be alive today. Okay, why? Don't lose a moment. Be attentive. Don't lose a moment of this gift. "I called you, Luisa, as the head of a special mission." Here, this is going back to volume 17, May 4th, 1925. Luisa is the head of a special mission, more than a new Adam. Now, on Holy Saturday night, we sing, "O happy fault of Adam," during the Mass. We're happy that Adam failed. Why? Why are we happy? Because Jesus has something even greater to give to us than he gave to Adam. Adam lived the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. He lived the life of God, but not being God. God breathed the ruah of God, the breath of God, into Adam, and Adam became a human in God's image and likeness. And now God wants to start over again because of Adam's fall. And he says, "Luisa, you're the head of a special mission. Luisa, you're more than a new Adam." And here it is not about human sciences, but about the science of sciences, which my divine will, the science of all of heaven, I, God, want you to enclose within yourself all the seeds which my divine will contains. And the more acts that you do in it, the more knowledges you acquire, the more rays of light you shall place on the sun of my divine will, so that with greater fullness of light, it shall be able to diffuse more for the good of the human generations, in such a way that stirred by the fullness of light, they shall be able to know with greater clarity the good which my divine will contains, what it means to live in the divine will, and the great good with which they are enriched. Okay. You spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament reading that paragraph. This is not saintly. This is not good. This is not holy. This is divine. "I have called you, Luisa, as the head of a special mission, more than a new Adam." He says, this is about the science of sciences. "I, God, want to enclose within you, Luisa, all the seeds of my divine will. The more acts you do in the divine will, the more knowledges you acquire, the more rays of light you shall place on the sun of my will." He says, "with greater fullness of light, it shall be able to diffuse more for the good of the human generations, in such a way that stirred by the fullness of light, they shall be able to know with greater clarity this great good which my holy divine will contains, what it means to live in the divine will, and the great good with which they are to be enriched." That's the new generation. this is what is coming is the new heavens and the new earth. The old world is going away. Jesus says this is basically the life raft for the souls of what's coming. And as you enter into this gift, as you read and study and put it into practice, Jesus is going to give you the way and the means to get through what's coming. It shall happen, he says, as with a sun, which, because it possesses a greater fullness of light, can easily take the whole world as though in its power to warm it, illuminate it, and fecund it, in such a way that all may know, some more, some less, the good it does by bringing its light to everyone. But if the sun in the height of his sphere were poor in light, the light which descends down below could not fully illuminate all the earth. At the most, some small portion of the earth which rotates closer to the sun. And if to the sun, which was to illuminate the earth naturally, I, God, gave such fullness of light for the good of all human generations, much more do I, God, now want to fill with the fullness of light the sun of my divine will, which must illuminate souls, which must warm souls, which must cast into them the fecundity of the seed of divine sanctity, not human sanctity. The saints had human sanctity. I love the saints. They are so great. They are so heroic. But it's not divine will. See, Jesus is now saying, I want to give you more than I gave to the saints. Why would he do this? Because now is the time. He saved the best for last. He saved the best for us. And the saints are all in heaven begging us, please do this, because they know when we begin to live in the divine will, their heaven doubles. Every moment their heaven doubles, 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 doubles. Our God is so in love with everyone that he wants everyone to have this. And this is why he says it must illuminate the souls. That's us. He said very clearly. Just as I chose a point in the heavens which to fix the center of the sun, which was to illuminate the earth, so did I, God, choose you, Louisa. You are the center of the sun of my divine will. That's what the Vatican book tells us. From the Vatican, Louisa is the sun of my will. And get that green book, I'll tell you. It shows us that we are very, very close to what God is going to do. And the fullness of light must be so great in you, Louisa, that everyone may be able to enjoy this light. Everyone will be invested with this light. And each one will make this light his own. This is why your complete acts of my divine will are needed, and us as well. As well as the knowledge which I, Jesus, keep manifesting to you, Louisa, in the Book of Heaven, in order to form the fullness of divine light. Therefore, be attentive. Be attentive. There's a book coming out called Be Attentive. Every time Jesus said to be attentive, as you read this, you begin to understand we are here alive on earth. We have been predestined by God. This is not predestination, but we have been predestined by God to live at this time to accomplish the greatest event ever. This is why Father Bucci says, give to everyone this call to be apostles of the divine will. Our job is so important that Jesus has waited to the last days, as St. John Paul II told us in 1978. These are the last days, the last days of the last days. Why? For the new heavens and the new earth, the glory of the church and the springtime of mankind. I mean, if you know Father Gobi, what did Our Lady say to Father Gobi in 1997? She says, everything's complete. Why would Our Lady tell Father Gobi everything's complete? Because in 1996, all the writings of Louisa were given to the world. everything's complete. As people begin to read this, read and study this, their lives change. Our Lady said to Father Gobi, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will begin in Mexico City. Where did these books first go in the world? Where did all 36 volumes go? They went to Mexico City. One prayer group there read all 36 volumes. And Our Lady comes out and she says, everything's complete. Everybody goes, everything's going to happen at the year 2000. And nothing happened, and they go the heck with Father Gobi. But everything has happened. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary began in Mexico City. How did it happen? Because of the writings of Luisa were released from the Vatican in 1996. The century of the Holy Spirit was the 20th century. In 1900, Pope Leo XIII consecrated the world of the Church to the Holy Spirit. What happened? In 1905, the Pentecostal movement began. In 1960, Pope John XXIII said, I pray for a second Pentecost. What happened? The Charismatic Renewal was formed in 1967. In 1998, the year of the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost Sunday, John Paul II said, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. A century of praying for the Holy Spirit. And the world had to change. And the devil saw this, so what does the devil do? He starts this terrible thing that's going on throughout the world right now. We are living on overtime. And as you read this, Jesus is saying, be attentive to what is happening. What's happening with your family? What's happening with your friends? What's happening with your neighbors? What's happening with your parishioners? What's happening with your co-workers? Be attentive. He says this, if you want the fullness of light to be enough as to be able to illuminate all people, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners, with the Son of my divine will, the one who wants to make, wants to give light to everyone must embrace everyone. And that's praying the rounds. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the Church has always taught this. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind. If you're the only one in the chapel or in the church, you represent all mankind. And when you say, Lord, have mercy on us all, God gives mercy to everyone. Now in the divine will, Jesus is saying, I want you to pray in the name of everyone and everything. I want to hear your voice on the lips of every human being from the first person to the last person that ever existed. I want to hear your I love you with every heartbeat that you have and all the heartbeats of all the hearts that ever existed. I want to hear your I love you and every breath that you take and every breath that anybody ever breathed. I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. This is an explosion of I love yous going to the throne of God, bringing what? The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, in the name of everyone and everything. Do you see our job? This is extraordinary. What God is asking us to do, He's waited for the last group to do this. We're the ones at the very end. We've been working for an hour. And Jesus says, I want you to do this for everyone. Bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, really clearly, the one who wants to give light to everyone must embrace everyone as in one single embrace by making himself life and substitution of everything and everyone. In this year of mercy, I pray for everybody. Lord, have mercy. And I can go through the list of all the sins of the earth. Lord Jesus, have mercy on this and mercy on these people. Have mercy and bring your pardon. Bring your peace. Bring your love to this person and that person and this group of people and that group of people. That's our job. Why are we alive today at the worst of times? Because Jesus needs us to bring the kingdom, the fulfillment of the Our Father. Volume 18, 12, 25, 25. I imagine that I just received the gift of light, which never goes out. So both at night and during the day, I am safe. I always have the good of seeing this light, which no one can take away from me. It becomes as though a natural part of me, and it gives me the good of knowing what is good in order to do it, and what is evil in order to escape it. See, that's the thing that's going to astonish you. You're going to see the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin disappear from you. The sin that you've always fought with all your life is going to slowly disappear. How can this happen? I mean, everybody, when they go to confession, it's the same thing every week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. What Jesus says, now I'm going to give you the grace to conquer your sinfulness, to perfect you, to make you perfect. This is what Jesus is doing. And he says very clearly, I am always safe. I am always good at seeing the light, which no one can take from me. It becomes as though a natural part of me, and it gives me the good of knowing what is good in order to do it, and what is evil in order to escape it. So with this light that I receive as a gift, I sneer at all, at the world, at the enemy, the devil, and my passions, and even at myself. This light is a perennial source of happiness for me. See, the only way you can be happy is to by being holy. If you look for happiness in this life, you'll end up in hell. But if you look for holiness, you will be completely happy. That's why you're happy after a good confession. A firm purpose of amendment. You are full of grace. Jesus says, this says here, the light is a perennial source of happiness for me. It is without weapons and it defends me. It is without voice and it instructs me. It is without hands and feet and it directs my way, making itself the sure guide to bring me to heaven. See, heaven begins here. You can't wait until you die to have heaven. That means you're going to purgatory. You have to live heaven now so that when you close your eyes for death, you open them in heaven. Our Lady says that. She says, most people when they die go to purgatory. Many people when they die go to hell. Few when they die go to heaven. Why? Because they haven't lived heaven yet. They got to make up for it. See, our job, Jesus says, I want you to begin to live a life of happiness, a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of heaven. That's what he's got planned for us. On the other hand, someone else has to go and to ask for this light when he feels the need for it, and therefore he does not have it at his disposal. Not being able to always be looking with this light, he does not possess the knowledge of good, the knowledge of evil, and has not enough strength to do the good and to avoid evil. So not possessing the light of God turned on and continuous in how many deceptions, how many dangers, how many narrow ways does he not find himself? What a difference there is between the one who possesses this light as his own gift and the one who has to go and ask for it when it is needed. The first is Louisa, the second is the saints. After this, my poor mind was wandering in the supreme volition, and I did as much as I could in order to do all my acts in the divine will. I felt invested with the supreme light, and as my little acts came out of me, they took their place within that light and converted into light. And I could see neither the point of the light in which I had done them, nor where to find them. I could only see that they had become incorporated in that endless light and nothing else was it. And it was impossible for me to navigate through all that inaccessible light. Yet, to remain inside of it, yes, but to cross the whole of it, it was not given to my littleness. Okay, here you're seeing the infinite ocean of God's love. It's endless. And Jesus says you can participate in this, but you'll never, ever be able to embrace it all. This is the infinite love of God that we're all going to experience. And you can begin to experience it now. Do not limit God. God wants to take you into this ocean. See, the 36 volumes of Louisa are the drips of water that are coming off her body as she exits the infinite ocean of the love of God. As we read these 36 volumes and begin to possess them, we're going to dive into this infinite ocean with Louisa. The infinite ocean of God's love, never to leave it. That's why we were created, to enter into God. Jesus, Louisa says, at that moment, my love of Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, Louisa, how beautiful is the operating of a soul in my divine will. Her act unites to the single act of her God, which knows no succession of acts. In fact, the eternal light is not divisible. And if it could be divided, which it cannot be, the separated part would become darkness. And so, being light, the divine act forms one single act, all of her operating. See, we're participating in God. So by operating in the light of my holy divine will, the soul unites herself to that single act of her God, the prime act of God, and takes her place within the atmosphere of eternal light. See, this is what the saints taught us was two-dimensional and black and white. What Jesus teaches Louisa is three-dimensional and technicolor. This is what you're going to begin to embrace. What Jesus is showing us is this. And sometimes as you begin to read this, Jesus is talking technicolor. He's talking red and green and blue. And we're used to gray and gray and gray. We haven't been taught this. So as we enter into this gift of the divine will, as we begin to read and study and put it into practice, what happens at that point is we are beginning to see technicolor. We're not seeing two-dimensional, but three-dimensional objects we're seeing that we've never seen before. See, the saints prepared us, black and white, and two-dimensional. Now Jesus is saying three-dimensional and technicolor. So as you read this, he begins to paint a picture. And he goes, I'm going to show you the color yellow. And you're going to go, what is the color? Isn't that gray? And there's the yellow. And you go, my goodness, this is really spectacular. He says, now I'm going to show you the color blue. Well, isn't it gray? And then the blue comes in, you go, oh my goodness. And then you try to tell people who only know black and white and technicolor. I mean, black and white and two-dimensional. There's this red. And you're going, what the heck is he? You mean gray? No, red, vibrant red. And this beautiful yellow and this great gold. And everybody's going, what the heck are you talking about? See, Jesus is giving Louisa a divine understanding. And as you read this, and as you participate in this, all of a sudden you become colorful. You go, oh my goodness, this is spectacular. See, this is it's so great. So by operating the light of my divine will, the soul unites herself to the single act of God, takes her place within the atmosphere of eternal light, and this is why you cannot see your acts, either the point of the light in which you perform them, or where they are, because it is impossible for the creature to cross the whole eternal light of God. And although she knows that her act is certainly present in that light and takes its place in the past, in the present, and in the future. Okay, now that's another thing. The divine will, there's no time or space. Where we are, Jesus describes it like this. We're on the curb, sitting down on the curb, and the band is coming. And we hear, and the band's right in front of us, and the band goes by, and you hear, you hear it coming and you hear it going, but you can't see it. In the divine will, you're at the top of a building, and you're looking at the beginning and the end of the parade. You see everything. The beginning, the middle, the end. past, present, and future. And you begin to participate in this from a divine perspective. Where we are humanly is on the curb. Yet Jesus is saying, I want to give you more. I want you to see the way I see everything, past, present, and future. You see what he's doing? He's allowing us to enter into this prime act of God. This is what's so astonishing. And all he's saying to us is, would you just go to your room, close the door, and read a little bit? You know, turn off the radio, turn off the television, turn off the newspaper, turn off the magazine, and focus on the book of heaven. And watch what I will teach you. Now, this is, it's so spectacular what God is doing. So he says, art, explain act, swallow. That's an act. Blink. Move your toe. Anything you do is an act. Anything you do is an act. And see, Jesus says they're all wasted. But when we do an act in the divine will, he says, it goes for all eternity. So when I blink, I say, Jesus, blink in my blinking. I want to blink in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So all blinks, every blink will give you an I love you from every creature that ever existed. That's an infinite act that goes on for all eternity. Why? Because it's not human. You're saying, Jesus, blink in my blinking. Jesus is doing that. He's taking us at our word. So whatever you do, is an act. That's why when you do your prevening act in the morning, you say, Jesus, may every thought, every word, every deed that I do today be done in the divine will to give you perfect glory, honor, and praise so that the kingdom can be established in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So that covers everything. And then throughout the day, Jesus will say, why are you washing the dishes? And you go, I want to wash the dishes of the divine will in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So you're in communion with God constantly because it's you're doing everything for the glory of God, everything for the love of God, and for everybody who has ever lived as if they were doing it as well. This is why he wants this. That's why he says, of the sun that surrounds you completely, you would not be able to find it or distinguish it because you only can say that the light was certainly upon you. So it's now that light there was from the first instant in which the sun was created, and it is and shall be. If your act convert into a solar light as it converts into a divine light, you would be able to find your particle of light. And the light which was given to you by the sun in order to let you operate. It says, certainly not. However, you know that an act can come out of you, okay, a blink, which was incorporated into the light of the sun, or a swallow. This is why I say that the living of the supreme volition is the greatest thing. It is to live divine life. As soon as God the Father sees the soul in his divine will, the celestial creator takes the soul in his arms and places the soul on his lap, and he lets the soul operate with his very hands, which descends with the power of that fiat with which all things were made. He lets all his reflections descend upon the creature in order to give her the likeness of his operating. So we say to Jesus, come dance in my dancing. Come swim in my swimming. Come walk in my walking. Jesus, come reign in me. Be the Lord of my life. When I walk into the hospital, you gaze in my gazing. You hear in my hearing. You speak in my speaking. See, this is going to bring immense healings throughout the world. How? Why? Because we're saying to Jesus, to the Father, to the Son, the Holy Spirit, descend upon me. Give me your likeness. Let me do what you do. This is why the operating of the creature becomes divine light and unites to that single act of her God and constitutes everything, as constitutes itself eternal glory and continuous praise, again, communion with her God. Therefore, be attentive and let the living of my divine will be for you and for your all, that you may never descend from your origin, that is, from the lap of your God, your Creator. So what happens is God isn't 1,000,000,000 miles away. God is right with you. He's with, in, through, and for you, as you are with, in, through, and for Him. It's mutual possession. It's beginning to let God have His way with you. And this is what's so astonishing about this gift. It's what Jesus has been waiting 6,000 years to do. Not just to be good and holy and saintly, but to begin to live His life. He reigns in us. Lord Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. Let every thought, word, and deed be in I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. Being in communion with God, not just when we receive Holy Communion. Jesus said to St. Gertrude, He said that the two ciboriums, the gold ciborium is the communions that you receive at Holy Mass. This is important to me. And then He said, and here's the silver ciboriums where you receive me spiritually. Both ciboriums, He said, are important to me. How often do we do a spiritual communion throughout the day? We can be in communion with God every 15 minutes if we really wanted to. Be in communion with God, adoring Him, loving Him, praising Him, thanking Him, blessing Him, worshiping Him, glorifying Him. See, God does not want to be 1,000,000,000 miles away where we go, please, 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 please. Well, Jesus, I adore you and I love you and I praise you and I thank you. You are one with me and I am one with you. I am on the lap of my Father in heaven. He is with me and I am with Him. Never to be separated. See, this gift of the divine will is really, really everything. I took off my watch somewhere. I lose more watches that way. Okay, so we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we'll have one more talk after this. Okay, is that all right?